The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning, and you're listening to Talk Saratoga, and we're glad you're joining us. I have a great guest this morning, Chef Maureen Clancy, who was a culinary teacher at our local BOCES here, and she's got quite a resume. And good morning, Maureen.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
All right. I want you to tell us a little bit about growing up, going to school, and why you wanted to, or how you got interested in culinary and wanted to become a chef.
Ooh, it starts a long time ago.
A lot of stuff, I know.
I was interested in culinary arts back in high school, where I took a two-year course at BOCES, and I was working in a local restaurant making pizzas and decided that this is going to be a great career. I was really excited about it. Learned a little bit about the restaurant business and decided to go on to the Culinary Institute after graduation to become a chef.
Okay. Now you're a Saratoga girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Boston Spa, Saratoga.
Boston Spa, yep. Saratoga. So you went to the local BOCES.
I did.
We'll get into BOCES after, because I had a gentleman who's been a bus driver since he was 30, and he's probably, I'd say, late 50s now, and he wanted to go to BOCES, but nobody ever told him that he could when he was in school. And he said he would have loved to have been a heavy equipment operator, and he said nobody, as guidance counselor or teachers, never even mentioned, why don't you go to BOCES, take up a trade? And he just didn't do it. But I want to get into that later, because you can tell us some of the trades that they have out there. Tell us about your college career.
Well, after the Culinary Institute, I did an externship in Florida, worked there for a few years, and decided to come back into the area and further my education, because I wanted to teach culinary. So I finished up at, I did some time at the University of Kentucky in Lexington, SUNY Oswego, and then finished up getting certified through the American Culinary Federation.
And that's a pretty good certification, too.
It's pretty high on the ranks, yes. Yeah.
Now, you taught in college.
I started up at Paul Smith College. That was my first teaching job.
Okay.
And loved the Adirondacks, and it was great for a couple of years, but, after a while.
Yeah, the weather kind of gets you down.
The snow was 8 months of a year, yeah. And,
if you don't like living in an igloo, that's not for you,
But then I came back down to the Saratoga area where my family was located, and I was offered a job at the F. Donald Myers Education Center, the Saratoga BOCES program. And in between that, I taught baking for SUNY Adirondack.
Okay.
ACC at the time.
And, one of the things about Paul Smith College is that it's a very well-known school for hotel and restaurant management.
It is.
So if you're going into that field, probably taking a culinary course will help out an awful lot.
Yeah, it's a good program, and they also, the hotel restaurant management program gave everybody a very good background in all the different areas, including culinary. So, the management was important as well.
Well, that's great. And so you were in between a baking instructor for SUNY Adirondack, and you spent 32 years as the culinary arts instructor at BOCES. So all in all, how many years have you had in culinary from when you graduated from school?
Well, I'm not going to tell you my age. But
no, you don't have to tell me your age.
No, I was probably, my first job was 14. I wasn't even really legal enough to, you know, I had to get my papers and everything to work. But I've been in the culinary and restaurant business all my life.
Okay.
You know?
And, you know, I mean, I worked in a restaurant, the Holiday Inn, in the area I grew up when I was 15. Mm-hmm. Started out as a busboy, bartender. I cooked for a little while. I was a line chef on the fish. You know, I did the fish, anything except the beef and chops. but, you know, it was quite an experience because you really get to know some recipes and, you know.
It's a good life, but it's really hard work.
Oh, it is.
And, you know, after 14 or 15 years, just, you know, you miss all your holidays and the weekends and summers when everybody's on the boat, you know.
Definitely.
You're behind the line, and it's, you know, 110 degrees at 10 o'clock in the morning in the kitchen, and, right. and your day is just beginning.
Right, and your day is beginning, and so, it doesn't end until the restaurant
that's
closes.
That's why I decided that I would go into
the teaching
career. Because, you know, when you get a Monday through Friday, you know, 8 to 2:30 and holidays off.
Well, too, I mean, you must have loved the kids.
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, you dedicated your life for 32 years at BOCES, and you must have ran through a lot of children.
I had a hard time making a decision to retire because I really loved, you know, what I was doing. I had a great job, and I love working with the students, and we did a lot of things. We were all over the place. We were involved in everything. We would work in the community, all kinds of fundraisers and, you know, community service projects. It just was one of those things where anytime somebody needed help, we were there. And we made a great, you know, learning experience.
Well, I had a guest on last week, our friend Wendy Libertor, mm-hmm. who is now a reporter for the Times Union. But I guess she was in PR.
She was for BOCES for a while.
And she told me that you were one of the only teachers that would help promote BOCES programs. And I think she was very proud of that. And I think that just goes to show you the love of the kids mm-hmm. and your belief in the culinary class and the belief in BOCES.
Well, I was a graduate, and when I always said that if I could give back as much as I took out of there and helped somebody else out.
Well, you did more than that because you
were
very...
Then I wanted to do that.
Right, you were very involved with the community with your classes. Yeah. And that puts you into being a sponsor of a key club in BOCES, in the culinary class, which I think was sponsored by the Saratoga Wilton Kiwanis Club. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your involvement in that.
Well, when I was in high school, I also was in the Key Club and the Service Club, and I continued to support those clubs, such as that, you know, Rotary, Knights of Columbus, wherever I traveled, if there was an organization around that something that I was, you know, had been associated with, I tried to get involved in that, and, when I had the opportunity to work up at Hudson Falls BOCES, they were just getting started to forming the club. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to get that off the ground, and I started working with the Glens Falls Kiwanis, which is a pretty big organization.
Yeah, it was a big club.
And we did all kinds of activities with them. We got a chance to work up there with Community Action, the Americade, greatly involved in the Taste of the North Country. That was a very big
ordeal. Still is. That's a huge, and that's where restaurants go and have people sample their foods.
I think that was one of our biggest you know, projects that we were involved in.
Yeah. Well, Americade wasn't a small venture either. I mean, that was huge.
We helped the Lions Club at the time put on that big barbecue they had on top of the, you know, on the mountain there.
Oh, really?
You know, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, and then they also did the Ducks, didn't they?
Yeah.
The Kiwanis Club there.
The Ducks, and we did. We worked with Habitat for Humanity. We made all the lunches for the volunteers.
Really?
Sometimes it'd be like 500 box lunches. Oh. It'd be big, you know. We worked with Community Action a lot. We helped glean fields at the end of the harvest time, process some of that food that they would drop off. It could be truckloads of beets. It could be carrots. It could be potatoes, apples. Whatever they had left at the end of the season, they would bring, and we would clean and process and package and send those back and bring them to the shelter. So
that's neat. The food
big
pantries.
Time. It was. And we also helped out with the hometown Thanksgiving dinner. You know, that was a big thing in Glens Falls, and we would cook, you know, a couple hundred turkey dinners, and it was big. It was big.
Yeah,
a lot of going on.
Is that how you got your nickname, the Turkey?
Yeah. Yeah. So we decided that you know, there's nothing better than a key club in the school, and it's still strong today. Up north in Hudson Falls, as well as when I came back down to the Saratoga area, we started one at the Saratoga BOCES.
Yeah.
And we worked with the Southern Adirondack BOCES, both back and forth on several projects together.
Uh-huh.
And so the kids would get to know their counterparts, so to speak. And then we would work together on some of the programs down here in Saratoga. And we started off by hosting some of the Kiwanis lunches at BOCES.
Yep.
So they would get to know the kids and you know, vice versa. And not only the Key Club from the Saratoga High School, but they would also know the Kiwanis members.
Yep.
And then from there, it just kind of kicked off where we were helping them with the Operation Turkey Baskets, where Kiwanis would purchase food and we'd get donations and the kids would do a canned food drive. And then we'd put together over 100 or more food baskets at Thanksgiving. And then the members of Kiwanis would come and pick them up and drop them off to the different locations. I think there were 32 different
food pantries, shelters,
associations that we worked with.
That's great.
Yeah, that was a great. Everybody loves doing that.
And it still is. I mean, it's still done by our Kiwanis Club. One of the things that, I mean, your enthusiasm in the program with doing the food baskets and getting the food, like you said, and you'd tear it down, package it up, and that, it must have given the kids that enthusiasm, too.
Well, I think, yes, it did. You know, I think If I feel good doing it and the kids can see that I'm getting some joy out of it and that it's a good thing to do and, you know, a worthwhile thing to do, you know, that kind of just rubs off on it. And they were like, you know, I'd say, well, what are you thankful for? And the kids would say, well, I'm thankful that we helped other people that didn't have a meal today.
Yeah.
You know,
great.
You don't hear that very often.
No, you don't.
Not today.
No.
So, you know, if you kind of give that, and you know, you're with the kids 5 days a week, and you know, three or four. I see them more than their parents do sometimes.
Right.
So you kind of take on that parental role, so to speak.
Sure. And you're teaching them more sometimes of life skills that their parents really don't have time to teach.
Well, not only the life skills, you know, it's responsibility and respect and time management and things that, you know, all these things that are really hospitality related.
Right.
You know, guest services and things like that and customer service. So a lot of the projects that we would come up with would be where you are going to be working with other people and getting to know other people and networking and trying, you know, so that was an important.
How to socialize.
Exactly.
One of the things, do you still keep in touch with your students, some of your students?
Too. Yes, I get all kinds of phone calls.
You do. So you want to change your number.
Yeah. No, you know, I've been pretty grateful. They've always had, they know how to get a hold of me. They knew where I lived if they needed me. I was there for them. You know, I was pretty fortunate that never had any, you know, bad incidences, but they always, I still have a couple kids come by and say, hey, you want your lawn raked or, you know, sure. You want your path? Of course, you know, their hands out, but
again, well, yeah, I know, but
it's
you
not
know,
free,
what?
But you got we can help them out.
Big shoulders.
Oh, sure.
And, you know what? And that's, you know what? You don't find very many kids today
no,
that'll
still,
do
still
that.
Call. They know? Still call and keep in touch, and I see them out and about, and a lot of them have gone on to bigger and better things, and some own their own restaurants, and some are working in private clubs, Yankee Stadium. They're all over the place. They're out in California. They've done some really pretty good things. And there's a number of kids that if they haven't gone to college, or college wasn't their thing. And it's not for everybody. That's mm-hmm. why these programs are so important.
Well, definitely.
BOCES, because they learn that trade that they can always have. And a lot of them are still working, and they're solid workers, and they've come through the ranks. Everybody starts off either dishwashing or some food prep or whatever.
Right.
But, you know.
Show initiative.
They're the adults in the area.
Sure.
You know, that are running these programs or these restaurants.
Right. Well, knowing you through Kiwanis, I mean, that's how we met.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing you, I can understand how you can make an impression on kids and get them interested in your program. Obviously, if they weren't interested, they wouldn't be there. So, you know, you're trying to develop them to make a career.
Sure.
Out of what they're doing. As you said, you know, BOCES is a tremendous alternative to college.
Definitely.
And one of the reasons why, like you said, not everybody is geared to college. Matter of fact, probably half of the students that go to college aren't meant to go to college. They go to school for 4 years, waste that big money, and they come out and they don't know what to do. But when you go to take a class at BOCES, I mean, they offer, I think you said, 30 different programs.
Or more.
That range from heavy equipment operation, conservation, horticulture, electrical, carpentry. If you want a career in the police field, they have a course for that. Oh, anything you can think of, hairdressing, cosmetology, nursing.
Right.
You graduate from there. You have a job for life.
You do. You learn those skills that you need in that trade area. They're basic, right down to the basic skills or advanced skills or whatever. You know, you find your own niche and you do your own thing.
But, I mean, everybody always needs a carpenter. Everybody,
you're work ready,
right,
you know?
You're work ready. I tell girls, you know, I mean, they don't know what to do. They're floundering, even in high school. And, you know, I was exposed to BOCES. My father had worked there when I was out of high school. And, you know, I used to substitute teach there. A friend of mine was the VOTEC superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, in the wintertime, because I had a landscaping and garden center business, so I didn't do much in the wintertime. So he would have me substitute teach out there. And he would let me substitute in every class except nursing and cosmetology. And I never understood why, and I was always mad at him, you know. But I mean, it's like I said, you know, everybody needs a carpenter, everybody needs an electrician, and you've got a job for life. You got a career for life, no matter what you do. And I was telling you, a friend of mine at work who was probably in his late 50s, early 60s, always wanted to go to BOCES, but was never given the opportunity via the guidance counselor or teacher suggesting that he go. So he didn't go to college, and he graduated from high school with good marks. And he said, I always wish I had the opportunity to go to BOCES. He said, I would have loved to be working with heavy equipment.
If, you know, when I hear a kid say, you know, I don't go to school. I don't like to go to school. You wonder why. And a lot of times, because you're bored.
You know?
And who wants to get up at, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning and ride a bus and get there and sit through like 3 study halls? It doesn't make sense, you know? I wouldn't want to get out of bed either for that.
And if you like to tinker around with cars, you could be taking auto.
You know,
mechanics.
Find something that you're interested in and take that a half a day and be productive.
And you'd be
you know?
Surprised how many kids
would
get into it. And I really think they should start pushing that a little bit more.
I think you'll see that more because
I hope so.
This nation is really, there's a big deficit for people and trade people.
Yes.
And every industry is crying because there's not enough workers.
Right.
You know? I get it that, you know, everybody wants to get out and make, you know, $40-$50 an hour and play with their computer and games all day. But realistically, that's not going to run the country.
No, that's not going to run the country.
And something else bigger and better is going to come along. And then, then what are you going to do?
And that's pie in the sky.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for kids. I mean, I think in the past 3 or 4 years, the job market has gotten a little better. But the... that it's mostly manufacturing jobs. So you got to have trades. And I really think, like you said, we're going to start building up trades again because that's the backbone of the country.
Well, there's a big need for it.
Yeah.
Getting the kids involved in some of these programs and the community programs and things like that, it just builds upon, their character. What kind of a person they are, and and make them a good, civic responsible.
It gives them confidence. That's the main thing you want to instill in young kids. You want to give them the confidence that they can do something, and when they can do it very well, that gives them confidence, and it gives the teacher pride that they've turned their life around.
We had the kids involved at Saratoga with Breakfast with Santa, which was a great operation that people can come. It's an affordable time to come around the holiday to bring their kids. It's like $10 for a family, and there's all different types of, things that they can read,
Sure.
They get Mrs. Santa Claus is reading to them, and Santa Claus is there.
Yeah, Santa Claus is there. They get their picture taken.
Crafts, arts and crafts, and all kinds of games and carolers. And it's just a really cool thing. And the kids,
And like you said, that $10 for the parents or a parent and the kids, no matter how many they have, can eat
free. It's huge,
So one of the things about that is, too, is that there's so many activities for the children to do that the parents will let their kids have breakfast first.
And then
go to the
activities,
and then the parents can have a relaxing breakfast. And they know that Kiwanis members or the Key Club members are going to take care of the kids.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's like a couple hundred people that we do that every year in December. Then the students also get involved in building. There's a bridge building competition that's coming up in May. And we'll get into that a little bit later, but the kids will be involved in that. They adopt a family for Christmas, and they get involved in
they work with the Kiwanis.
Yeah, they do.
Getting toys or clothes.
Got it.
And donating.
We had fire victims that we also collected for 1 year, and that was our focus to help out the family. After the fire, they worked with some of the local chefs around with the Feast of the Fields, which was a big thing over at the Saratoga Prime National, of course. Then I used to take them on with me on different cooking demos on TV.
Really?
They love that. You know, that was a lot of fun.
Now, were you like a chef?
Yeah, I worked. I was on quite a few different TV stations, and we would do a morning cooking show.
Okay. Now, were you like the Julia Childs, where you would take a sip of vino and
not
between.
With the kids.
That's right, not with the kids. You can't have an open bottle with them because that would be funny.
And then they also worked on like after school enrichment programs, and then we did summer camps where we went to different farms. It was a farm to table summer camp. They worked with Project Lift. That was a big thing. They fed, prepared. 60 to 80 meals a couple times a week and drop those off to those different schools. Project Lift is a really good program after school. Before the parents pick the kids up around 6 o'clock, they have to have their homework done and arts and crafts and things like that.
And they have a meal.
Little meal. It's very important.
It is, and that's through the Franklin Community Center, right, who does an awful lot of work in the city. But that Project Lift, they've expanded it so much into almost every school.
Yeah,
so
they have them all around.
Yeah,
you know?
So it's great that they do that. Because
so, you know, the kids are, the students are, the Key Club kids are involved with a lot in Saratoga as uh-huh. well as up north.
Now, what are some of the benefits that students can learn from joining a local Key Club?
Well, number one is they need to learn that, you know, not everything is given to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's time to step up and give back to your community. I'm a firm believer in that. The kids will learn leadership skills. That's a big, important thing. I think they need to make sure that, you know, with the right guidance and support of people like Kiwanis, students can go on after school, and even in college, they can go into different levels.
Sure, because Key Club is the high school.
Right.
Circle K is the college group, and we have builders clubs in the middle school. So you can really go up the ladder to learn the leadership skills and get along with other kids your age. And that's, you know what, that's a lot. That means a lot today because you're not on the computer all the time. You're not on your telephone. You're talking person to person.
Sure.
Learning skill. I always say you're learning life skills because from a kid, I always learned a lot of things from my grandparents and their friends when they used to come over to the house. And just by being around them, you learn different things that you carry on throughout your life. So when you have a positive influence, whether it be at BOCES program or a Key Club, because most Key Clubbers get to know the Kiwanis Club.
They do. They work hand in hand on all kinds of.
That's right.
You know, they're learning leadership, commitment, respect, hard work, like teamwork and responsibility.
Yeah.
It makes for an all around a young professional, civic minded young adult. I mean, it's they're learning those. Everyday skills that you need to be out there, to be a professional.
And you had said, too, that, I know from our Key Club, the Saratoga High Key Club, and I'm sure it's with yours, too, you know, it was with yours, they get a chance to go to convention and leadership conferences.
It's true.
That, again, is huge for high school kids.
Our Saratoga High School Key Club has two advisors, which is Barb Frazier and her husband Truman. And Barb is the president of the Saratoga Wilton Kiwanis. And they take those kids everywhere. They're on all different types of leadership conferences and conventions. And there's an endless list of activities and projects that they work on, you know, all year round. The list of things that they've been doing, the spring and fall cleanup at the Double H Hole in the Woods. They do the bell ringing for Salvation Army, you know, out there in all different types of weather and snow, and they're just.
And they go to the apple orchards in the fall, and they pick apples.
They pick apples for them.
And they donate, and then they go bringing them around to the senior centers or the nursing homes. And
shelters of Saratoga. Yeah.
You know, we did one year when I when I was president, we got donuts and cider, and we brought a pumpkin. I don't know. There may have been maybe 12 or 14 tables at Wesley. Mm-hmm. And we went in the evening, and there were probably four people to a table. And the Key Club was there, and our Kiwanis Club was there. And the kids carved a pumpkin at the table for the seniors.
Okay.
And then we passed out donuts and cider. And I'll tell you, the smile on their faces, they probably hadn't done that in years.
Yeah, that's just something you take,
for granted.
That you did it as a kid, and then, you know, years and years later, that's just...
That's right.
It's little simple things like that that bring back good memories and and good times. And
when you're in the nursing
home, it's a thoughtful thing to do.
It is. It really is. Yeah. And they got a big kick out of it, and you left the pumpkins there. Yep. And the kids got a kick out of it. They, you know, they're around seniors. They get to have an affection for older people by doing things like that for them. And again, that carries on through their life. So you had mentioned the Breakfast with Santa and the ringing the bell for Salvation Army. Mm-hmm. We also have a program that Katie Nutting heads up.
Oh, right. That's the RIF program, Reading is Fundamental. And it's a literacy program, reading with to the preschool, little kids. And she travels around to Beagle School, Katrina Trask, and the Corinth preschools and around. And the best thing about that is that once she reads that book to the students, every kid gets to take that book home.
And keep it.
Yep. And that's a big thing. They're like, this is the book we read. And then they can have someone read it to them. They can learn how to read it
exactly
at home.
And that is a tremendous program. The books cost quite a bit.
Yeah, so it's a big project. Yeah, she does a great job with that.
So we're always looking for donations.
And volunteers.
Volunteers. And yep. I should make this announcement that Maureen and I are in the same Kiwanis Club, the Saratoga Wilton Kiwanis. So when we say, you know, our girl Katie Nutting heads that up. We also do fundraisers. We did a coat check for the Cider Night and the Beer Fest that was held at the City Center the end of February. We do the coat check. Some of us imbibe a little bit, but that's a nice fundraiser for us, and that provides scholarships.
Yeah, it's great because, everybody takes a shift and hang up coats and distribute coats. And
people are very generous.
They're great. They tip us very well. Yeah. And
we have a list of things that we do.
Yep.
Now, you probably got an email in the last day or two about our lieutenant governor wants us to put a little drive together for food, cans, and such things for the hurricane victims in Tennessee.
Yeah, they had some really bad storms, tornadoes.
Yeah.
And it wiped out quite a few places from Nashville all the way around.
Right.
And we were asked to coordinate with our district to
help
get, you know,
things together.
Food and a list. They sent us a list of items and whatever.
Toiletries and
gift cards, non-perishables, things like that. So we have a meeting tomorrow. And we will get together with a group.
I won't be there because I can't make the lunch meetings, but I sent back my opinion with yes.
I'm pretty sure as of tonight that's all the members it was reached out to all said that the chapter should sponsor that. We'll send a donation, definitely.
Right, that's great. We do have, there is a hierarchy in Kiwanis. You start out with the individual clubs, and then you have divisions. And each division, you have, all the number of clubs is different. When I was lieutenant governor in our Mohawk division, we had 13 clubs that went from Schoharie to Schenectady as far north as Lake George, which is a big area. We were the largest land area in the state. But like I say, there's 27 or 28 divisions. So each division has a lieutenant governor. And they help the division presidents and secretaries get things done. But then we have a governor of our district, and usually a district is a state, and he oversees every club and every division.
And there's 49 districts and provisional districts
in the U.S.
in the Kiwanis International.
Okay, our division, the Mohawk division, has always been known to be very helpful when you get a situation like this. I remember when, Katrina came through down south.
Right.
And New York division is always out front for everything. And then addition to divisions and the district, we have Kiwanis International.
It's the 49 districts and provisions, as well as Kiwanis Nations fit into any of those districts, and that's approximately 80 countries.
Mm-hmm.
So that's bigger than everything.
Yeah, that's amazing. One of the things too is that Kiwanis International, I was telling you this a while ago, as lieutenant governor, you're on the board of your district. So there's 27 or 28 board members, depending on how many divisions in your state. And they have an international convention every year. And 2 years back-to-back, it's in the U.S., and then 1 year, it's in another country. Well, when I was lieutenant governor, the place that they chose for the international convention was Indianapolis, which is where the international offices are. So I, went to Indianapolis. Of all the places, they went to Rome one time, they went to Taiwan. So I had filled in for a lieutenant governor that couldn't fill out his year, and the international convention that year was in a foreign country, Montreal. So, which is closer than Indiana.
You got duped twice.
Yeah, I got it right. So I said, don't ask me to be a lieutenant governor again unless you're going somewhere nice for the international. But the international does an awful lot of good work.
They, through the Eliminate Project, Kiwanis International and UNICEF joined forces to eliminate material and neonatal tetanus.
And that's important. People don't realize what that is.
It's a deadly disease that steals the lives of more than 30,000
mm-hmm.
Innocent babies and significant others, number of women each year. Tetanus is a pretty painful disease and causes extreme sensibility to light, sound, and contact, and prevents just even touching, your child or whatever.
And a mother could die from having that. One of the things, projects that, you're going to talk about, are in third world countries.
Sure.
That we take for granted over here because we don't get that. But
you step on a nail, you get a tetanus shot. Here,
right.
People are dying because of tetanus.
And they're little babies.
And they're babies.
They're born with that. So they raised over $110 million to pledge with UNICEF to eliminate that, eliminate project.
And they've done some major things, They really have turned things around. With the funding to be able to, get these vaccines that they need, save the lives that they need. you know, help people out.
Sure.
Just to end this a disease that shouldn't even...
No, shouldn't, you know, people shouldn't have to put up with.
No. And the other one is, the other thing that they have is eliminating iodine deficiency. And it seems so weird to hear that people don't have iodine in their diet.
Right.
Where we're told over here in the United States, you know, stop using as much salt as we do.
Right.
Because of the iodine.
But that's where we get our iodine from, is salt.
And the people don't have that, and they have all kinds of health problems and diseases and goiters and...
Yeah.
And it's you know, horrendous.
Well, it's one of the leading factors of mental retardation in these third world nations, lack of iodine. So they pledged, you know, Kiwanis pledged $80 million to eliminate iodine deficiency orders. And there's only 30% remains in the world population that are at risk for iodine deficiency. So
it's a big that's a big change in numbers.
That's right. We cured 70% of people, and so, you know, even our Kiwanis clubs don't, that's where they get this money from. We donate money from each club to international, for international projects. Mm-hmm. And our state district to help U.S. Tragedies out. So your Kiwanis clubs and clubs,
it trickles down, you know.
It does. It does. And, you know, we couldn't do it with the help of Key Clubbers. Key Clubbers and Circle K and the Builders Clubs, with the projects they do and the money they raise. The youth is so important to service organizations today that you just can't, you can't envision what we would be without them.
And it's good to be able to work with the youth at programs and get them early and get their minds set early that this is what you want to do.
Yeah.
This is the way you help.
And you know what?
You know, this is the way you help, from a young person all the way through to you're someone our age.
Yeah.
And we're still working with Kiwanis, and we're still working with the state, the local, the national, the global communities.
I mean, who would think third world countries, how could you help them out? And it's just donating some money so that we can buy iodized salt and enter that into their diet. And, you know, but plus it keeps you young.
Yeah.
Working with these kids. I mean, my gosh, I think I've taken off about 25 years of my age, you know. Geez, I'm 30 years old again.
Keep you running.
Yeah, they do. They keep you running, but it's all a good thing. So you still use your culinary artiste job with different projects that come up. Correct.
Yeah, it seems like one of the reasons why I definitely got involved with the Key Club is because it always seemed to circle around food. It always came up as that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Breakfast with Santa, you know, the Operation Turkeys, you know, we're going to be gleaning fields. It just seems
you made the desserts and the food for the wine beer tasting that Kiwanis has in May.
Yeah, the students used to make hors d'oeuvres, and they still do. They make hors d'oeuvres and appetizers and desserts and things like that. And, you know, it helps for the fundraiser that you have. So that is May 29th at the Saratoga Elks Club at 5 p.m.
Yep.
There's going to be live music, silent auctions, beer, wine, and cider tasting. Yep. They usually have a hot buffet and appetizers. And
as much as you want.
And, yeah.
We don't limit
one little price.
Yeah. I wanted to have you talk about the bridge building, if you could, because this is a unique thing the club is starting thanks to one of the members.
Well, this year we're introducing a new project where students work in pairs under the guidance of their teachers from the middle school, and they design a popsicle stick bridge. And On the day of the contest, the team members will build their bridges and have them judged for strength and aesthetics. There'll be trophies awarded to the winners, and all the participants will receive a We Build Bridges t-shirt. And we hope to expand it to the high school next year, which would make a bigger contest right. as well, and offer a scholarship to a senior who plans to major in engineering.
Right.
And get them involved in engineering as an interest. And our chairman, Graham Bailey, is a retired civil engineer, I believe, and he is going to be heading that
project.
Competition yeah. project. And that's going to be over at the Maple Avenue Middle School on May 7th at 5 p.m., yep. So, and this is a project, it's a STEM project, so it encourages, like I said, the engineering in young children, and Graham Bailey and Adam Duig are the chair people
right.
for that, from our Kiwanis.
Isn't that a great project?
It's awesome.
And I'm glad Graham yeah. Became part of our club. He transferred membership from Ticonderoga.
Yeah.
He moved down here. I think mm-hmm. his kids live down this way. So he moved down here, became a Kiwanis, transferred his membership, and yeah. boy, he's been an asset.
It's great. It's a new project that we've never done before.
No.
And I hear that Maple Avenue is buzzing. They're
looking forward
sure,
to it.
Sure, they're looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Well, part of the reason I think they're buzzing is because they got to eat all these popsicles. to get the popsicle sticks, so you know that's probably why they're buzzing over there. They only have another month and a month
they gotta
and a
get
half.
Going.
That's right. But
that's funny.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, about our beer and wine extravaganza on May 29th that you spoke about, mm-hmm. where we have live music, auctions, beer, wine, cider tasting, and the hot and cold hors d'oeuvres. But Joe LaFira has been the impetus, who's one of our members for years, has been an impetus behind this fundraiser, and we should give him a shout out.
Absolutely.
For that.
If it wasn't for Joe, half of these projects probably wouldn't have taken place.
Right. He's a tremendous person.
Well, he was one of the people that just started this, and Joe never says no.
I know. And I will give you a little bit of inside information here. If you come to the Breakfast for Santa and you visit the project room and you see Mrs. Claus, that may be Joe's wife. I don't know, but
that's what we've heard, though.
That's
huh?
right.
Rumor
that's
has right. it.
Rumor has it. But no, Kiwanis is a great organization, and we would encourage anybody to join. And I, you know, Maureen, to start a club in a school today is very, very hard. There's not that many devoted teachers as there used to be years ago. So for you to take that on and make it the success that it is, and as active as it is, you know, kudos to you.
I was concerned that after I left that maybe this wasn't going to continue, but you know, we've got the support of the chef instructors over at BOCES and whatever, and the administration as well, because they know what the kids do.
Oh, sure.
They've seen all the projects. They've been there. They've been a part of them. They even support by attending the Kiwanis meetings when we have them at BOCES.
Okay.
And the students cook a great lunch for
yeah.
us.
And, you know, that makes the school look good,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, sure.
It really does. I mean, with all these kids getting service projects done, that makes the school look very good. So it's good that,
and the
you
students,
know,
you know, they apply, too. You know, doing all this work, a lot of the courses that they take at their high school, they need some type of community service.
Yeah.
They need 20 hours or 40 hours or whatever it may be for their participation in government or whatever, economics. But also for culinary arts, they also had to have, you know, work hours and that type of thing for community service. It's great that, you know, they just get involved in Key Club, and it's an automatic.
Yeah.
They don't have to scramble looking for hours.
That's because, right.
Because they're doing something every week.
Probably get three know? Times as many as
and then
they need.
At the end of the year, they turn around and write up a, you know, a quick little story about themselves and what they've done and submit that, and they get a scholarship.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
Easy.
Well, we've come to the end of our show, and you'll never lose the title chef because anytime I've heard your name called, it's always Chef Maureen.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. And, why don't you mention that? We'll have Cindy on, but why don't you mention that?
Okay, we have another little thing coming up Friday, May 1st at 6 p.m. It's To Love a Child, Inc. and the American Culinary Federation. We have an evening beyond your wildest dreams to give children opportunities beyond their wildest dreams. It's a culinary journey featuring 5-course wild game and fish dinner with food and with beer and wine pairings. And we have some of the top area chefs that are going to be preparing the food. I am the honorary chairperson, and I'm working with Cindy Schmel, and she is the director of To Love a Child. And we have all kinds of great things going on that evening besides the meal. We've got a music by Russ Kennedy. There's going to be live cooking demos with our assemblywoman, Carrie Warner. Carrie will be joining us, doing some cooking demos with me. We have a lot of, we're going to have food demos pairing with New York State products. I Love New York products. There's going to be a wine pool. There's going to be all kinds of great fun things to
and
do
Cindy
that
will
night.
Be on a show before that event.
Yes,
and
she will.
As you said, it's going to be a game and fish. And I heard, now this is just something that I heard, that there's going to be woodchuck stew.
Woodchuck stew.
Now, I don't know. I mean, I know it's real popular down south.
It's not the Roadkill Cafe.
It's not the Roadkill Cafe. We used to have one of these in Saratoga.
Didn't do too well, though.
Maureen, thank you for being on. You're always a pleasure to be around.
And it's a pleasure to do this with you.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So next week we'll have a great show, so be with us. And believe it or not, it's going to be the middle of March already, the 15th, I think it is, which is St. Joseph's Day.
Right.
And 2 days later, you got St. Patrick's Day.
That's right.
So be with us next Saturday, and thank you for being with us today. And thank you, Maureen, and
you're welcome.
Everybody have a great week.
Bye-bye.